Well, good evening. I have a good evening to you. I have a special picture I'd like to show you at this time. Yeah, the reason why I show you this, well, I had hair, that's one thing. But this was my first car. I'll never forget it. It was a Chevy Lumina, 1997. And I paid $1,200 for it. I overpaid. I didn't know you had to negotiate. The person's like, $1,200. I said, I'll take it. I didn't know you were supposed to say something lower. This was my first car. I didn't necessarily take great care of it. I thought that the having to change your oil, I thought that was kind of a scam. I thought, you just do it a couple times a year, you're probably good. So I don't know. I did change it a few times. I drove it at high speeds frequently. Kids don't do what I did. Don't do that. And a couple years later, it died prematurely. So I didn't really take the best care of it. It was a good first car, and I have a lot of happy memories. But if I had taken a little better care of it, it probably would have been with me a little bit longer. If I could have gotten another year out of it, if I really had kept track of things a little bit better and, you know, maintenance, service, those kind of things, taking good care of it. And so I'm going to miss that Chevy Lumina. I want to talk to you tonight about the Bible here. And Paul, writing to 1 Timothy, he writes the letter 1 Timothy. And he writes to him as a member of a New Testament church. And in the New Testament church, God has appointed people to be leaders and gifted them. And it's our duty as members to take care of our leadership. Your leadership needs your help. Did you know this? Just like this car needed my help. Members are what the pastor needs. The irony about pastors is pastors are sheep leading other sheep. And pastors have their own problems. We have our own weaknesses. And we need prayer, we need support, we need help. And so it's very important that just as pastors, it's our job to minister to the people, to share the word, to teach, to provide oversight, to provide prayer. Hopefully I'm praying for the members of this church routinely, trying to give you support and help. At the same time, I need support, okay? And this is the way God designed the church to operate at its optimum way, is that we're supporting each other. And when we support each other, the church can do much greater things, the things that God intended. So if you have your Bible, please turn to 1 Timothy 5, and we'll look in verse 17 through 25. If you didn't have your Bible, there's a Bible in the pew rack in front of you. It's page 1674, which is 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 25. So just to remind you, Paul is writing this letter to young Timothy. So Timothy is taken over at the church of Ephesus after Paul has moved on after several years. And Timothy is trying to lead this church, but there's all kinds of factions. And there's even people in leadership that are teaching false doctrine. And so this creates a headache, okay? And so how do they respond to the leadership crisis that they have? How do they respond to the leaders that are helping and supporting? Some of the leaders are doing the wrong thing. And so Paul lays out specific instructions as God has led him on how members should treat their pastors and how they should try to work with their pastors, okay? So we're going to look at the members' responsibility to pastors. So 1 Timothy 5, we'll start in verse 17 and I'll finish the chapter. It says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox which treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Again, an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be a partaker of other men's sin. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine off infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also, the good work of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid." Tonight's message is entitled, How to Take Care of Your Pastor. How to Take Care of Your Pastor. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, I pray as we open the Word that it would truly speak to us, and Lord, help us to be open to what it has to say. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, we have this church that you've given us, that having received Christ as our Savior through faith, we join into a body of believers, Lord, and we need each other. And I just pray that this would give us direction and guidance how to think and act the way Christ would. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to be accurate with this text, and may it be received by the audience. May you put your blessing upon this, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. Let's talk about taking care of our pastors. We need help. Some of us need a lot of help. And you know, pastors come in a whole range of types of people. And different pastors lead in different ways. I meet pastors that are great at sports, and they'll do sports with their teens, and they're excited about that. Or some are amazing musicians, and they'll play music, and that's kind of their way to interact with people. Some are more social. Some like to plan and organize behind the scenes. Maybe they're not as talkative. Some people like to talk a lot, and they're always calling and texting people, and talking is what they enjoy. So the Lord gives a variety of men the office of pastor. And being a pastor doesn't make you any more spiritual than anyone else. Being voted on as pastor, I'm just as spiritual now as before the vote. The vote didn't make me spiritual, okay? But hopefully we've demonstrated a commitment before the Lord and a willingness to grow and learn. But we need help. And so I would like to give you 7 ways that you can support your pastor. Number 1, pastors that are faithful ministers should be treated with respect. Verse 17, let the elder that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. The word elder here means elder, means older, okay? And earlier in the chapter, it talks about elders in the church. There's older and younger people and people your age. But in this context, it's talking about people that rule the church. And so the pastor is often referred to as an elder. And it refers to maturity of character, maturity in how they act, decision-making, that kind of thing. So this is talking about the office of a pastor when it says elder here. This is one of the titles. Okay? And notice how they labor in the word and doctrine. The pastor's job is to be in prayer and the word. And, you know, that's not something you necessarily see an immediate benefit from. It's not something you can tangibly see. Like when I walk up here, you don't know how much I've prayed today. You have no idea. I know. You don't know, okay? But what Paul's saying is don't overlook the thing that you can't see that they're doing because it is helpful. Even if it's not tangible, I can't. Like someone that works in maintenance, I mean, you can see if they built something or something was cleaned. But a pastor, you may not be able to see everything that they do, okay? So the important aspects of prayer and the word shouldn't be neglected. And so you should recognize their efforts even if it's not something that you can tangibly see, okay? Because what they're doing does have eternal significance and importance. So they need to labor in the word and in doctrine, okay? Now, earlier I said that in the chapter talked about how widows should be honored, but this is referring to a twofold honor, okay? And the idea is be respectful. If a pastor is someone who's ministering and helpful, let him know, thank him. And I say this not to beat you up. I really appreciate how nice people are to me. I get text messages, I get emails, you know, thank you were trying, and I say, okay, I give it my best shot. Thank you for the message, that was really short. I'm like, okay, I guess it was short. Whatever else, though, I really appreciate, and this church is very grateful. It makes a big difference, it's encouraging, because if you're tired and people appreciate it, you don't feel so tired, right? But if you're tired and you just hear the negative, boy, that gets old fast, right? And so I'm very thankful. This is a very grateful group. I'm not trying to beat you up with this. But it's important. If a pastor's done a good job, let him know. Encourage him. Show respect. Listen to what they have to say. If they've demonstrated the trustworthiness, then give them a shot. Listen to what they have to say and treat them as if they are someone that's worth the respect. Now, obviously, he's not saying worship the pastor. You know, there's some movements that they treat their pastor like he's the fourth member of the Trinity. That's not what he's talking about. You know, Jesus, there's a big gap here between all the rest of us. And so pastors need check and balances. If I make a mistake, I know there's people that tell me, I appreciate that, just talk. You know, I can learn something. Because we're all here to learn, right? If I'm going to teach you something, I have to be open to what you teach me something. We're all here to learn. We need checks and balances, okay? But you should still show that respect. One of my ultimate pet peeves in life, you want to know what it is? And I love funerals in general, because I always feel they're so respectful and honoring, and you find out things about people you never would have known. And I'm not happy that people die, don't get me wrong. But just hearing all the nice things, people come together, and just the support, that part of it I think is good. But what always annoys me at funerals, there's always the one person that says, you know, brother so-and-so, and they'll tell you a lot of amazing things you never knew about them. You know, she helped all these people, and you're like, that's so neat, that's so cool. And then they all say, you know what, they said something or they did something that changed my life. It was so wonderful. I never told them this, but this and that was just so helpful. And I always think to myself, if it's so helpful, why wouldn't you just tell them? Wouldn't that have been awesome to tell them that when they're alive, to try to encourage them, you know? They don't even know a helpful thing they did. Why not just say something? Just think of how much that could have helped them. And so this is one of my goals in life, is when people help me, because a lot of times I want to keep it in, you know, you think about it. That was really encouraging, or they said this or did that, just what I needed. But my goal would be to tell them to their face so that they know what helpful thing that they said and did, and try to be an encouragement to them instead of saying it later, or like people that say it at a funeral. That's good they said it, but it doesn't really help that person. So I think it's a really encouraging thing to tell people things that they say and do that are helpful and be an encouragement. And this applies to the pastor. If the pastor is a help, let him know. Encourage him. Okay? So number one, to support your pastor, if he's faithfully ministering the word, treat him with respect. Number two, and this could be a sub-point of point one, but I made them separate points so it's less confusing. Pastors should be paid fairly. Pay the person, okay? This is not hard at all. The scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. The laborer is worthy of his hire. This is, Christ quotes this. It's a quote from Deuteronomy 25. So back then they had oxen that walked in circles, and they had a big round stone, and it would grind up corn, and you could make some kind of a feed out of it, that kind of thing. And you could make meal out of it, make bread, whatever else. But as a result of the oxen doing the work, it got to eat some of that corn. And that was its reward. And it's picturing people that labor should be paid, okay? If a person does hard work, they should be paid. If I work in an apple orchard picking apples all day, I should be able to eat at least one of those apples. Don't you think that'd be fair? And so it's only fair that pastors should be paid accordingly, okay? Now, different size churches can pay different ways. You know, some churches are small. Maybe they pay a person part-time, and for them, that's the best they can do. But to a pastor, that means a lot that they cared enough to give him some money and to help him. And I, once again, I'm going to add myself. I appreciate the way the church takes care of our family. I appreciate the way people sacrificially give. I mean, no one here is unless there's some multimillionaires I don't know about in our church, most people are fairly moderately incomed, and people do sacrificially give, and I appreciate that. Don't worry, I'm not wealthy. You don't have to cut my pay, but I would say to you, I'm doing a lot better than many other men in my position, so I appreciate the sacrifice of God's people. But it's important that churches do consider the pastor. Now, some churches have the philosophy that they pay a pastor in a way that will help him grow in his faith. I've heard this before. This will help him grow in his faith if I give him this paycheck. I would say, please don't do that. Please don't do that to me. I think the pastors have enough ways to grow in their faith without you creating more for them. Okay? And pastors remember how people, you talk to pastors, they know how people treat them. They keep track. It's a funny thing how this works. I have to tell you a little bit of a horror story, okay? This is, once again, not me. I'm happy. I'm not complaining. But this is someone that I knew. This man had a young family. He moved to an area. They had a small church, 50, 60 people. He works hard. The church, in 10 years, it doubles in size. He's running well over 100. And in the time that the church grows, his family also grows. But one thing did not grow. You know what that was? His salary didn't grow. And he asked, please, can you help me? And they said, we think you've got enough. He said, okay. So he keeps working. In the meantime, they're talking about all these great building projects they have. We want to build this building and this over here. We got all this money. And in the meantime, he's thinking, I can barely pay my bills. The pastor ends up taking a night job at UPS, throwing packages at night, to help pay for his job at the church. And he gets tired up and beat up, and people start to know it, and they go to the budget committee. The budget committee says, don't worry about it. The church is growing. Things are fine. Eventually, the pastor had enough, and he quits. He's exhausted. He's tired. He's worn out. He's thinking, why can't we build buildings, and you can't help me pay my electric bill? What's the problem here? And I will tell you this story, that the church is existing, but it's barely alive. He left, and they had a lot of problems since then. And this is a horror story, okay? I'm sure there's examples of others. There are pastors that probably get overpaid. And, the Bible says we're not supposed to be about filthy lucre. It's not about the money. But all I would say is consider the person's feelings as you pay them. And I think this could be a subpoint of one, is that they feel treated a certain way, and they remember how people treat them. So keep this in mind. But yes, I do think I'm being treated very fairly. I'm not preaching about myself, in case you're wondering where this is going. But just so that you know, this is what God's Word says, okay? So, ministering to a pastor, we talked about treating them with respect, number one. Number two, make sure you pay them fairly. Number three, pastors should be given the benefit of doubt concerning unverified accusations. What is this talking about? Verse number 19, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Why the two or three witnesses if they did it? Shouldn't we deal with it? This is why. So if you're a leader, you're going to run towards a problem, right? Leaders run towards problems. If you're self-centered, maybe you run away. But if you're a leader, you run towards problems. I want you to take a minute here. This is a great point to think about. I want you to turn to someone near you and tell them this. Leaders run towards problems. Go. All right, I think that almost worked in the front. Okay, if you're a leader, you're going to run towards problems. So here's the pastor, okay? Now there's a problem in the church. What's he going to do? He's going to go talk to those people, isn't he? Or he's going to find out what's going on, what can be done. And so as a pastor, you're always in the middle of things, okay? Now another thing is people share things with you in confidentiality. You can't just blurt out what's happening, okay? Because it could be very hurtful to people. You know, maybe they're in the midst of a situation that's difficult. I can't run to this person, that person, that person. Guess what so-and-so said? Just think of how hurtful that would be to them if they came to me and I'm telling the whole world their problems. And so you have pastors. If they're leaders, they're going towards problems. And also, they have to be careful what they say because they could hurt people involved. And so this put pastors in a very vulnerable spot. Now, some people you try to help want help, receive help, and you're able to encourage them, and good things can happen. Some people don't want help, okay? Some people are thankful for rebuke, and some people are unhappy with the messenger for bringing them rebuke, okay? So sometimes people are not going to like you. You're not going to be everyone's favorite person, okay? Especially if you're truthful. And so this puts the pastors in a position where they can be accused by someone that's unhappy. Someone can bring up an accusation against them. Now, when this happens, Paul says, this guy's laboring in the word. This person has proven themselves to be someone of integrity, someone that you trust. An accusation pops up, and what's going to happen to them? Okay, can they? You can't always respond, because to respond, well, they did this, this, and this. Oh yeah, well, let me tell you the dirt on them. I can't do this. Okay, I've got to be careful. I've got to be sensitive with what I say. And so Paul says you've got to protect the pastor. Okay, you have to be careful what you believe and what you hear. All right. So you need to have proof on what's being said before you follow that line of thinking. Now, to be clear, he's not saying that the pastor has immunity. He can hide from accountability. I came to a pastor once that I caught in a lie, and I said something to him. He's like, do you have two witnesses? If you don't have two witnesses, I don't want to hear it. That's not what this is talking about. Okay, this doesn't mean that he gets a free pass. All that it's saying is if someone's making a public accusation and you're going to receive that publicly and deal with it publicly, it needs to be verified to protect him. Because I'll tell you this, my ability to minister is based on the fact that people trust me. And if people can trust me, then I have a platform for ministry. Once I've lost your trust, I need to work on my resume because it's time to get a new line of work. Okay? So one accusation could end my time here. Did you realize this? The Lord has to protect my reputation. I can't do it, obviously. And so pastors are in a very vulnerable position. Okay? So before you receive an accusation, check it out and make sure it's legitimate. Now, if the pastor did something wrong, then he needs to make that right, or he needs to go. I'm not protecting anyone here. You understand what I'm saying? Well, but all that Paul is saying is just be careful about what you receive about a pastor, okay? Just make sure there's actual evidence and proof before it becomes a big deal. And that's appropriate. So that's your way that you protect him. And I'll tell you this, if something is wrong, then I would go and ask the person. And I've had people come, I've made mistakes since I've been here. I don't claim perfection, all right? And I don't think any of you think that, so I'm not worried. But I've had people come to me, did you realize this? Well, no, I didn't. I shouldn't have said that, I'm sorry. Or you did this and someone was waiting over here. Well, maybe I should have thought of others, okay? I've apologized many times. And I'm happy to do it. Whatever I'm doing that's not Christ-like, it's got to go. And so this maybe forces me to see those things quicker because I'm in a fishbowl in many ways. And I'm happy to do that because God will bless me if I'm like him, right? And so I'm happy to do what's right. So it's important that we have integrity. It's important you protect your pastor. And if there's a problem, go talk to the person. A lot of times you talk to people and you find out that you've heard half the story. Okay, so if there's an accusation or problem, I'm going to go find out what's going on. I'm going to get to the bottom of it. Okay, and then I'll deal with that when I have all the facts. Okay? So be careful. Protect your pastor's reputation as it can be protected. Number four, we get to the other side of the equation here. Okay, if this is not what it appears, I'm going to defend him. On the other hand, pastors should be held accountable publicly for ongoing sin. If I am in sin, I need to be held accountable publicly. If it's something in front of people, my ministry is in front of people, what I do is in front of people, I'm held accountable in front of people. Do you see how all this works? If I'm doing the right thing, I'm being honored. But if I'm doing the wrong thing and it's a problem for others, it's public, I need to be accountable for how I act publicly. That's the price of leadership. Verse 20, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Verse 21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observest these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality, or not treating others unfairly. So as a leader, James talks about how you're held to a high standard. Be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. Okay? So I'm putting myself out there in front of you, and so I need to be held accountable for the things that I say and that I do. And so for a pastor to have, and the sin here is talking about an ongoing sin. If there's an ongoing sin that's creating a problem, I need to be held accountable publicly, okay? Because it affects people publicly. It's going to have to be dealt with publicly. Now, some sins you can talk to someone. If it's a private sin, you go talk to them in private. And if a person can correct it, you can move on. But some sins are going to affect others and have to be dealt with in a way that brings healing to the group. So with leadership comes accountability. So if a pastor is in open sin, they need to be held accountable before God. It talks about and the elect angels or chosen angels. Perhaps this is angels that judge, but we're going to be held. You guys are held accountable for how you hold me accountable. Does that make sense? And the standard that I'm held to. And it says treating them without preference, treating me fairly. Okay. So for instance, if there's a pastor and he's very exciting, he preaches exciting sermons. The money's coming in, the people are coming in, and oh, we find out that there's a problem in his personal life. And it's a terrible sin he's not repenting of. Well, he has to be held accountable without partiality. He doesn't get a free pass because he's a big personality, okay? Sin is sin, and we're all held accountable before God. Whatever our position is, in God's eyes, all that matters is truth, okay? And just being in a position that people look up to isn't enough. So I need to be held responsible for my actions and be treated fairly. I don't get a free pass, okay? And so it's important that we treat everyone should be held accountable, okay? Number five, pastors should be properly vetted before being put in positions of authority. All right, you got to look into the person's life that you're putting into authority before you have a vote. This is why you ask questions. We find out about, you get to know the person, this kind of thing. And so that we know, who are we putting in these positions? Verse 22 says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. So the idea of laying hands, when people were appointed leadership positions, they would put their hands on the man and the leaders of the church would pray for them. And so this is talking about putting people in positions of leadership. Lay hands on no man suddenly. Don't be in a hurry. Don't skip through the process. Find out, you know, what are we getting ourselves into? Is this person ready? Is this person a novice? Or are they new to this? Will they be overcome with the position? Will they not be able to handle the pressures of it? Will pride, maybe the pride of being in a position of leadership, maybe this would corrupt them and they'd make a wrong choice? It's important that the right person is put into leadership. And in a sense, when you put someone into leadership, you are responsible too. And because you're endorsing them and you're putting your stamp that that's okay. It's important that we're responsible for the type of people that we put into leadership. And it reflects upon us. We're not putting someone that's not spiritually mature, okay? Talent isn't enough to be a good leader in the church. It's not some great ability to speak, to draw crowds, to build buildings, to raise money, to have fancy ministries. And I see ministries that are so sad that the leaders have all kinds of personal issues, but because they're a big personality, people look the other way. And that's not fair to the people that they're hurting. And just think of how that hurts the name of Christ, okay? So it's important that we put people in the leadership who are ready for that position of spiritual maturity. All right, number six. Pastors should take care of their health. You didn't see that one coming, did you? Oh, in most churches, that's like the least fit person is the pastor. Isn't that sad? Many churches, the least in shape person in the whole church is the pastor. It should never be. He says in verse 23, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine off infirmities. Okay? Now, if we think back about this church of Ephesus, okay, Timothy is probably a younger guy, maybe early 30s, and he's dealing with all kinds of leadership problems, divisions, false doctrines. Just think of the mess that he had. Now imagine him feeling stressed from this. Can you imagine this? I imagine Timothy being skinny and stressed out of his mind, right? He's dealing with problems, and people are coming to him, oh, Timothy, we got this teacher in this house church, and he said this, you know, Jesus isn't really this, and he's like, oh, no, not brother so-and-so. And so he's like, okay, we got to deal with this. We're going to get to the bottom of this situation, and I'll talk to him, or maybe he'll be voted out, okay? We're going to deal with this situation. And I could just imagine the stress wearing on young Timothy. And Paul tells him to take wine for his stomach's sake. Now, a lot has been made out of this verse. I'll start with what it doesn't mean, okay? It does not mean that Timothy was getting drunk, okay? He's not drinking to forget his problems. Okay, we know this from Scripture. The Bible has a lot to say about alcohol. Now, Proverbs 20 and verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The Bible says not to be controlled by strong drink, but to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he's not getting drunk. But in that society, they use grape as a way of, or a type of medicine. So he takes a little bit of this for his stomach's sake, a small amount. Okay, he's not getting drunk. Is this a small amount of grape juice? Is this a little bit of wine in a mixed with a lot of water? Sometimes if they don't have good water supply, they could use a little bit of wine to kill some of the bacteria and germs. I think it's a little bit of wine and water to kill the bacteria. If you want to stick to your total abstinence positions and say it's grape juice, good on you. I'm good either way. As long as we can all agree, he's not getting drunk here. Okay, that's not what he's talking about. So he has to take care of his health because this is a position is wearing on him. You know, as a spiritual minister, you think to yourself this. I think this is why so many pastors are in bad shape, okay? You think to yourself, the things that I do matter for eternity. And you're like, I can help this person. I can visit this person. This person needs to hear the gospel. You're like, this is so important. I'm excited about it. And before long, you're just so busy, and you don't think about physical things as much, right? I'm not sitting here playing my next vacation, okay? I'll take a vacation, but I don't live for vacations. I'm excited about what I'm doing, and I think I can make a difference. Now you can keep doing this enough, and eventually, you wear yourself out, right? Of course, God made us so that we need a day of rest, and so we got to take care of our bodies. But a lot of times, as ministers, we don't think this way. We're like, I can go forever. And then a few days later, we're ready to crash and burn, right? Of course. Because there is limits to what you can do. But it's important that pastors take the time to take care of their bodies, exercise, eating good. I tried to eat my vegetables. That gives you energy, right? I drank a lot of water today, so I want you to know I'm really trying hard. All right? So it's important that ministers take care of the body that God gave you. God only gave you one body. When that's shot, you're not able to minister anymore. Take care of your body. You'll have a much longer ministry. All right. Taking care of your pastor. We're up to number 7. Pastors will ultimately be judged by God. Verse 24 and 25. It says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also, the good work of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. It's talking about sometimes people may have sin, and sometimes we see the sin. We see the person and we think, that person is such a sinner, right? They're making all these mistakes. I can't believe it. And other times, maybe people might appear to us righteous, and yet there's sin inside that we don't see. And someday, it'll all come out in the judgment, right? Then we'll find out what they're all about. And Paul gives the converse, you know. Some people we may see, we may not think that they're much. And it seems like, you know, I don't think that person does much. Or maybe they're not getting much done. Maybe they're not very talented. Maybe they're not. They don't look to us to appear to be someone that's extremely spiritual. And yet when they get to heaven, the true nature of who they are is revealed. And God shows us what's in their heart. And so in the end, God will judge us eternally based on what he knows. And I think of those who minister, and you know, there's many things that you say and do that people will never see. And I think the things that are I'm most excited about in my week, most of you will never see me do. And the things that maybe even matter the most, in my office with the door shut, you guys will never see me. God sees me, doesn't he? And God knows the things. And God knows what's in our heart. And whether we look impressive to somebody else, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. What matters is truly the things that God sees. And so God will ultimately judge. And God will ultimately see what we do. So it's important that we live for him. We don't try to impress people. This isn't a popularity contest. I don't try to say things to get in good with this person or that person. Hopefully I am myself before God, and I'm honest and transparent. I'm not hiding anything, and I'm sharing with you the things that I'm learning, right? The Lord teaches me these passages. I got to pass it on to you. But I'm learning myself, and so this is what God will reward. Well, we covered a lot of verses tonight, and we talked about the role of the pastor in the church and their place of ministry, and we talked about how we need help. We need support. And it's important that you support us, you encourage us, and keep us in your prayers, think about us. And in times we need rebuke, rebuke away. We need that too. We need to be open and honest, just like we expect you to be honest with us. You know, it's the same. We got to be honest with you. We got to keep this real. Or if we're not keeping it real, then what are we doing? You know, then it's just a routine and a charade. We want to be real. We want this church to do the work of the Lord. So it's important that we help each other. I just want you to think about this. Now, is there anyone here who has never accepted Christ as their Savior? You know, maybe these things don't really apply to you because you're not really a believer. And you've never accepted the Lord into your heart. You know that you're a sinner, you need a Savior, but you're not willing to put your faith and trust in Him. Or there's others that come to church regularly, but they've never really joined. They've never taken that step of membership, of being committed. And I would encourage you, take that step. When you keep the church at arm's length, you're keeping God's blessing at arm's length as well. Let's receive what the Lord has and be plugged into what he has, and we can experience the blessing he wants for us. Well, in a minute here, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a quick invitation. And if the Lord's working in your heart, maybe there's something that I don't see, the Holy Spirit's working, and you'd like to pray up here, feel free to come, or if you want to do business in your heart there, you may. Let's pray.